God is stronger. God, you are higher than than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Forever will be.
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Old hymns I really like. I've mentioned it once before. There was one I don't like at the cross. I don't like the fact that it says, you know, for such a worm as I don't believe God created this in that image. But that's a personal preference. Revelation 17. We're drawn to the end of Revelation, and the world's drawing to an end too. What we see in chapter 17 is really kind of the focal point of that final cosmic battle that's going to take place. And people are going to have two choices. They either move into the light, or they remain in darkness, and that's pretty much the only choices that we have. One writer I've read, I think it was John MacArthur, said the siren of hell will be so loud as to all but irresistible. Having rejected God's grace, death will come upon mankind on a scale unprecedented in history. And he said one other thing. He said, for those not repenting, an irrevocable decision has been made. So we're going to look at this again tonight. Chapter 17, verse 1 says, and one of the seven angels who had his seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. And when we see this harlot, what that represents is prostitution. And prostitution in this reference really refers to idolatry, not necessarily sexual promiscuity, but to a religious apostasy or a turning away from God. Sitting on the waters there refers to the nations, and it symbolizes the waters just simply symbolize the nations of the world. And what it does is she is sitting on this, the harlot is sitting on this, it just shows the awesome power that she has at this time. But like everything else that is anti-God and anti-Jesus, she comes to an end, and we'll see that a little bit later. Verse 2 says, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And this representing there is those political leaders who fell under her spell or fell under her influence. And the reference again here is to idolatry and the influence that she will have over them. And so what we would see here would be a picture of one woman, one harlot, one prostitute or whatever, being over the world and drawing people in almost in an intoxicating fashion, because it, and that's the reference there to the wine of the fornication, is that intoxication that becomes really the sin of following a false religion. And so the whole idea here when they talk about the fornication has to do with idolatry. Verse 3, so he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And what we see here is this woman sitting on this beast, which is showing that she has supremacy, or she has control or total power over this beast. And the scarlet really refers to, and probably best refers to the Antichrist or whoever that individual is that's going to assume political control over the world. The colors there, the scarlet really represents three things. It represents luxury, it represents splendor, and it represents royalty. And the seven heads there, and we talked about these seven kingdoms before, and this represents the seven kingdoms. And we'll talk about those in a minute, but it's going to be like the kingdoms of Rome and Greece, Medo-Persia, and those particular kingdoms. The scarlet beast represents the government. It's kind of interesting when you look at this, is the beast represents government, yet the harlot represents religion. When you look at these, and you picture these two together, so we've got both of them that are opposed to God. And that harlot sitting on her means, as I said earlier, she has full control, total oversight of what goes on there with the government under her power, under this religious power that we'll see. Verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And what this is saying simply here is that she's adorned and she is something to look upon, and people will be looking upon her, but she's also portrayed as that prostitute. And what she has been able to do from her appearance is to get people to follow her and to seek out her because of what she really looks like. She's dressed to allure nations. She's dressed to allure people as a prostitute would. The cup there, and it's interesting to say it's a gold cup, but it's full of abomination. It's full of sin. It's full of filth. It's full of garbage. Is full of everything that you can imagine. And so anyway, when we look at this, it's, I guess, corrupt may be the best word that we could use, but that gold cup is corrupt with her fornication. Verse 5. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And during this time, it was customary for Roman prostitutes to wear a band around their head. And what it did is it would signify with their name, and also what it would do would signify the wretchedness that they lived in and lived under. So what this band really does is descriptive of what she is as far as being the mother of harlots or being the ultimate degree of degradation that we would ever find anywhere. And all of the systems of the world are going to be under her. And so the mother of harlots there refers to all the false religions that will be in place at that time. False religions that come in one of the references there for, it says from Babel, one from Babylon. Anybody that worships a false god or worships any type of idol blasphemes God. And we're going to talk a little bit about blasphemy Sunday when we talk about forgiveness. But one of the things that in studying for the message Sunday is the idea of that the unpardonable sin. And we all have heard about it. And I think we probably all said, have I done that? You know, because there is no forgiveness from it. But what the unpardonable sin really is, a total rejection of Jesus Christ. It's not anything other than that. And so when we look at it that way, if we're sitting here tonight, we've not committed that sin, and most likely having the benefits of and the blessings of God on our lives, we're not going to do that. But that's really what that ban signifies, and it's very descriptive. Verse 6 says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. The blood of the saints, the martyrs of Jesus. John points out that this harlot is a murderer. And that's really who she is, and she's one of the followers of Antichrist. And so as we look at this, we realize that there have been millions of people that have died as a result of false religion. And we just, you know, I mean, we just went through an election. And we saw one of the candidates that spoke strongly against allowing Muslims into the country. One supported bringing them in. And one of these is, that's a false religion. Because there is no one that would say no God on earth that believes in justice and righteousness would ever say it's permissive to rape and kill women. Nor would they say that it's right to kill someone that doesn't believe in what you believe. So when we look at that, that's an example there of a false religion. A lot of people are going to die living in false religions. And that's and we're going to see as we go through this, so many more people are going to die also. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her. And so anyway, this is the angel talking to John, which has seven heads and ten horns. So why are you marveling at that? Because when you go up there in the earlier verses, and I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And what the angel's saying is, hey John, this is really nothing to marvel over. The people of the world, the world system, the false system, will marvel over it. And they will support her and will support this. But what he's saying to John is, don't marvel because it's influence and it's going to overtake the whole earth. It's just not going to be a few people. But when we look at anything in Revelation, it doesn't talk about a group of people other than the 144,000 Jews that are going to be saved during the tribulation. But it talks about the world, not just a nation. So when we talk about nations, we're talking about the complete world. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So he's saying there that the beast here in some references, and this is why it becomes symbolic, not only represents an individual, not only represents a king, but sometimes it represents a kingdom, sometimes it represents a world system. So the reference here talks about the beast's false resurrection. And after that resurrection, that beast is going to become possessed with a spirit or a demon that will ascend out of the bottomless pit. And once they overtake him, then it says goes into perdition. Perdition is another word for hell. But those who dwell on the earth will marvel, those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So there will be people that have repented during this time. Even though we talked earlier about the Spirit of God has been removed from the earth, it would seem to me that these people at one time may have been drawn to God, because it says no man can come to me unless he's drawn. So there's been a drawing, or there's been an understanding or a knowledge at some point in these individuals' lives. And so what they've done is they have repented, and their names are written in the book of life, so they'll not be harmed. But I think that's what he's saying here in this verse. All because if we look at a loving God, he'll do anything he can to any extent for as long as he can, until a person is on the face of this earth, to get them to turn from their ways and repent. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. I'm going to read 10 with it. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. What they're talking about there, these seven mountains represent the seven kingdoms, or the seven great kingdoms of the world. Those are Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The first five are the ones that have fallen. Rome is still standing. The seventh one is the Antichrist. That kingdom who's not come yet. So he's not, he's not fallen yet. So when John wrote about these, is Rome was still in existence. And these are kingdoms of the earth, not kingdoms of heaven, these kingdoms of the earth. So the seventh one will be the Antichrist. But when you read verse 11, there's another one. It says, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and he is of the seven and is going to perdition. What they're saying, he's saying there, is that he's the seventh king when he comes, but he's also going to die, but there's going to be that resurrection. And after that quote-unquote resurrection that takes place, what he's going to do is he's going to destroy the harlot. And he's going to destroy all the religious empire that she has established. And what he is going to do, and what the Antichrist is going to do, is demand worship for himself. And anything that she set up, I kind of thought about that when I listened to the news. A lot of these executive orders that have been signed are going to be repealed. And I thought, that's the thought that went through my mind today. That, when you look at a lot of these things that the harlot set up, and all of the religious submission that she has sought for people, when she's wiped out, that's wiped out. And so what happens is the Antichrist is going to be the one that's going to have people worship him. 10 kings, those are the sub-rulers, or kings that are set up under the rule of the Antichrist, which will rule 10 different divisions of the world. And what they're going to do is they're going to, and again, this is a symbolic look at what it says these districts, when you look at verse 12, because it says, and they will have authority for 1 hour as kings of the beast. And so what that 1 hour simply means is a very short period of time that they're going to have control, or they're going to have rule over that. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet. So those are the 10. They'll receive authority from the one for 1 hour as the king with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So anything that they have, any authority that they have, comes from the beast, and they give the authority back to the beast. And that's what they're saying, is they're going to be, what's the good word? Minions. They're going to be minions of the beast. these will make war with the Lamb, or these will make war with Jesus, then the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are faithful with him are called chosen and faithful. So there's going to be that title, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, simply represents power. Verse 15, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And what this again is, this represents all the nations and all the peoples of the world. Isn't that just what he wanted, because he talks about peoples, tongues, nations. And they're represented by the waters, and that's what we found in an earlier verse. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. It's a pretty horrific way to see the end. But this is what the Antichrist is going to do to the harlot that is there. And what he's going to demand is, when that has happened, is he's going to demand the worship of the people on the earth. These ten rulers are going to seize the power that he's doing and that he wants. But one of the things to keep in mind, and there's a note there, they're carrying out God's will. And that is what his will is. Even though they don't have a clue that they're carrying out his will, that's really what they're doing. So the harlot, as we read back here, adorned in gold and scarlet and pearls and fine jewels, is now gone. She'd been destroyed. Make her desolate. They're naked. They'll eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, or to do his will, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The great city is the reference to Babylon. It becomes the focal point, the capital, the centerpiece, the point where the Antichrist is going to reign is going to be Babylon. And there's probably not one more perverse city that's talked about in biblical times than Babylon. That nation of Babylon. Chapter 18. And we're gonna start an Advent study in a few weeks. Next week we will not be looking at Revelation, because we're gonna have our healing service. And I'd encourage you to go to a concordance and read verses on healing this week. Read verses on faith this week. And what we're going to try to encourage people Sunday to come and be a part of this, because there's an old term that I heard growing up, prayer warriors, and we need people to pray. We need people to believe. And I'm anticipating, I know Greg and I've talked about this, a great time next Thursday night. And I'm going to do it on a Thursday, so hopefully people will come and share about it when we talk about healing on Sunday. So that'll be the message 2 weeks from today. But that is a prayer that God answers, along with the one for direction and for provision. And the one Sunday we're going to talk about forgiveness. And then the one the end of the month on blessing. Good stuff is happening. Chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And remember now that the earth has been living in darkness, because that was one of the plagues of darkness. So now what we see is this angel coming in, illuminating the earth again, and drawing, what's going to happen is that angel is not just going to be an angel with a flashlight. This is going to be an angel coming in a blazing appearance that is going to draw people to look at him. And what he is also doing, along with his appearance, is drawing attention to the destruction and the devastation that is about to take place in Babylon. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So what's going to be left there is nothing more than carnage for vultures and buzzards. It's pretty much what he's saying there, because it's going to, and it's interesting because when he says, and it says, the first verse says that when he comes with authority. And what he's going to do is he's going to speak destruction to Babylon, because he says, Babylon is great, is fallen, is fallen. And so the birds of the air will be there to pick up the carnage that's left there. For the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So that goes back to that the whiners are talking about, or the way that she lured people into some type of spiritual drunkenness, that they had forgotten about God. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her because they have followed her own idolatrous ways. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So as she was wearing the gold and the pearls and the fine linen and everything that we saw, the merchants became rich, but they're going to be crying in a few verses here. And the merchants and the political leaders and the corporate leaders are all caught up in this whole commerce system. So then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." And what they're talking about there is that God is calling his people to disengage themselves, to get away from her, to get out of her, to get out of that world system that they're in. And what he's doing is he's calling people to repentance again. And he's telling them to abandon this, to get out of it. Repent. Find your name written back over here in the book of life that was established since the foundation of the earth. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. One of the things that God remembers is that we are forgiven. The Bible says he doesn't remember our sins. He doesn't remember anything that we've ever done, but he remembers to protect us and keep us, and that's exactly what he's saying here. That if a person, and you have to read between the lines, but if he's going to forgive, then he's going to protect. Render her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which is mixed. Mix double for her. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because what it's saying there is that idea of repaying is from the Old Testament, and it's retaliation is really what it is. And so anyway, and so many times we've been, you know, told not to judge people. That, you know, the judgment's up to God, and that's what he's saying here. Is they're going to be judged according to the deeds that they have committed and what they have done wrong. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxury, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, "I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow." So when you look at this this idea, she of, you know, "I sit as a widow," it's kind of an expression of, "I sit proudly here, I'm prosperous." And this is what Babylon is saying, is that it's a proud place, even though right now it's empty because it has been destroyed. And verse 8 talks a little bit about the spatial destruction of the city. It says, "Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning." And what we see there, and we see these judgments are going to take place, and again is that reference, and it's a reference that's going to be a short time. The kings or the political leaders of the world, they're the ones that are going to be mourning, they're going to be weeping, they're going to be lamenting. And one of the things, if you the Greek term for weep is sob openly. It's not just cry and shed a few tears, but it's to shed openly. And lament means to express some type of despair, and that's what they're going to see into a world that still doesn't believe. Verse 10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." So it's a short period of time. "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble." The merchants are going to be whining. The jewelry merchants, because they can't sell their gold, and they can't sell their pearls, and they can't sell their silver, and they can't sell their precious metal. Clothing merchants are going to be unhappy because they can't sell their fine linen, they can't sell their silk, they can't sell their scarlet material. The furniture manufacturers, and the citron wood was a very expensive wood that was used to make a very expensive furniture. They're not going to be able to sell that. The ivory that they brought in from Africa is no longer going to be able to be sold. The cosmetic industry is going to be gone. The food industry is going to be gone. Merchants, the transportation people that sold horses and chariots, all the merchants of the world are going to be lamenting and crying and whining because they are not making any money. There's been a loss there. "And cinnamon and incense and fragrant oil and frankincense, wine, oil, the fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men." Bodies and souls of men refer to prostitution. It's what it's referring to there, or sexual promiscuity. "The fruit of your soul longed for, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things that are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more." So everything that they had is gone. They don't have anything anymore. Verse 16. "And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing." Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out, excuse me, and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, or saw the smoke of Babylon burning. What is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads, which is a sign of mourning in the Bible, and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, the great city, which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour is made desolate." So all the stuff that people had is gone, and there's no more stuff to be had in Babylon. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and be holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." And what he's saying there is not so much the vengeance toward the people that did it, but he's saying the vengeance for what has occurred to the martyrs and to the prophets. Because that's been kind of the theme throughout all of Revelation, is that there's been prayers for the martyrs, prayers for the prophets, and prayers for those who were killed. And so anyway, that's what the reference here is. It's not to anything else. "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more." Saying that these millstones weigh 75 pounds a piece, and when these things are thrown into the water and the splash that it gives off is the devastation that they're going to feel and the punishment that they're going to feel. "The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard anymore. No more music in the air. No craftsman, any craft shall be found in you, shall be found in anyone. and the sound of the millstone shall not be heard in anyone, and it shall not be heard in you anymore. What Gaither song, the king is coming, reminds me of that reference right there. That's a great song. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For your sorcery of all nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth. And that goes back to that reference that we talked about earlier of all of the false religions. And the blood is going to lie at the feet of the harlot, at the Antichrist, and at the foot of the beast, or at the feet of the beast, because of these religions, these false religions that have pulled people away from Jesus Christ. And I've got a friend, I worked with him, and he's now retired and lives in Texas. In fact, we're on Facebook friends with him. But he's a member of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And my heart goes out to him and his family, because that's a false religion. And I'm not going to convince him of that. But his name's Rich, and his wife's name's Matt, and I just like to pray for him.
It's a good thing to be forgiven, isn't it? It's a good thing to be healed. Accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? Should my king should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. Accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can be that you, my king, should die for amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Pretty song, isn't it? I love that song. That's our special for Sunday. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, bring forth the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Pretty nicely.
Cool.
You want to do let's sing Save Your Shadow again. Everybody's walking out. Let's do Save Your Shadows again. You don't want to do that one? You want to do Our God is Greater? Let's do Our God is Greater.
Or you have something else in mind?
Oh, no. I'm out of power.
Have a tablet.
Thank you, Brandon.
Water, you turn into wine.
It's weird singing on this side of the hall here.
Water, the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes. There's no one like you, none like you. God is greater.